Good morning and welcome to Sport and Life with Sam Kekovic and Leon Weegaard. Sam, had a good week?
I've had a great week, Leon, but with great interest I watched the news this morning, and guess what? One of the great phenomena of our time, the eclipse of the sun.
Yes.
Over in Mexico and America. It was coming around towards Canada, and it was the total eclipse of the sun. Well, obviously it is the eclipse of the sun, but it extinguished the light. It was quite
eerie, I think.
Quite eerie, yeah, that's the word I was seeking. And I watched the graphics of that, and I wasn't all that moved but it is a phenomenon, isn't it, when the actual moon covers the entire sun and extinguishes the light.
Well, that's amazing.
It is. And it's an amazing thing. I tell you what.
I'm totally underwhelmed.
No, I know you're underwhelmed, but when I got up, I realised when I walked out that there was a level of precipitation, obviously engulfed us as well. And as I peered out the window a bit further, it's coming down in biblical proportions now. And that light was extinguished too by a different phenomena called, rain.
Oh, right.
So he...
This has been the weather forecast with Sam Kekovic. you and I went to the Andrew Plimpton funeral, and that was wasn't it? Weren't those five speakers terrific?
The daughter spoke phenomenally, and all his friends, and they were just absolutely, and as you rightfully alluded to, the most difficult part of any delivery is always a eulogy.
Yes.
It's such an emotive component to it. But they were just phenomenal and fantastic, and what a great man he was. We sang his praises for a long time, and they continue to sing his praises. But he was certainly a great, great man. And on another level, Leon, I know the AFL's a soft target sometimes, and rightfully so. We do give them a good kicking because their foibles are so obvious. But on the other hand, where credit is due, I think we should. The gather round, I thought overall was amazing success. I thought it worked seamlessly.
I was out footballed in the end.
So was I, but I thought it was a great initiative from both perspectives. I thought it was a great promotional vehicle for Adelaide. And the crowds were fantastic. And I thought overall, it was a wonderful package.
Yeah. Well done, South Australia. Well done, AFL.
But I'll tell you what would have happened. If we had a couple of, you know that element that used to make the turnstiles tick? You know those people, those certain unique individuals?
We've got one coming up.
Well, I was going to give myself a bit of a rap first.
Right.
Is that surprising?
We'll give you a minute.
Could you imagine if our next guest was still playing? How the turnstiles would be ticking over.
Rock star.
Was he ever a rock star?
Well, referring to Peter McKenna, who, for those that don't remember it too much, a great footballer, 180 games for Collingwood, 838 goals, which is a huge number in those days. It's an even bigger number these days. They win the goal kicking now with about four goals.
Yeah, and I think he averaged nearly five or 4.8 or something.
It's a headline of a four forward gets more than four goals.
And I tell you something else, he doesn't quite get the kudos that he deserves. It's only because of, the likes of Hudson and Wade and those guys. I don't know why, but you look at McKenna's record by comparison, that's the equivalent too.
Never missed, either.
Never missed, no, he was a dead eye.
And the other thing, he became could have been rock star.
Well, he was a rock star, let me tell you.
And a television star, he could have been that too. Anyway, let's ask him. Peter, welcome and thanks for joining us
online?
Today.
I thought we were going to talk about him. we got him online.
Talk to him. Peter, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to both of you happy to be on that chat.
Good on you, Pete. Well, going back, you were an Essendon supporter when you were a kid.
Well, I grew up in North Toorak. Some people call it West Heidelberg. And Edwin won both for Collingwood or Fitzroy. Lots of my mates, Leon, voted for Fitzroy. And I was a bit of a one-out. I was crazy Essendon. I saw my first game when I was 8 years old, the week after John Coleman did his knee. So I didn't see Coleman play. He did it against North Melbourne. I was 8. But I was crazy. And the one thing you didn't like was Collingwood, because half of West Heidelberg were Collingwood supporters. But they, you wouldn't believe how many Fitzroy supporters were there in those days.
Oh, yeah, at that area, they were that terrific. The Essendon side in the 50s had some great players.
Yeah, well, it was Jack Clark, John Burt, Louis Shelton, I was centre-half back, and King Fraser, centre-half forward, Ron Evans. And I was inducted into the Hall of Fame later in life, and the man who presented it to me was Ron Evans, who was one of my great heroes. And I've got to know Ken Fraser well. We catch up for coffee now and again. And wonderful player, number 23. But can I tell the story about Bluey?
Yeah.
Joel, in my teenage years, I saw him run through two blokes, one with Doug Wade, and both of them were carried off on stretch. Forget who the other one was. So they both carried off on stretches and out at Windy Hill, two different games. Then my first year was 1965 at Collingwood, and I went down thinking I'd play in the thirds or seconds. I went straight in the firsts, and later that year I played in the preliminary final. The sides came out. Centre forward for Collingwood, Peter McKenna. Centre back, Louis Shelton.
Oh, dear.
I'd seen him put two blokes in hospital in those previous years. Do you think I was frightened? More like petrified.
Yeah.
Hey. What happened was, in the first 5 minutes of the game, you'd remember this, Leon, for sure. Duncan Wright belted John Somerville and knocked him out down the Richmond end of the ground.
Oh, yes, a famous case.
Was it ever?
Yeah, and Bluey Shelton came up to me, and Ken Fraser went round to every Essendon player and said, play the ball, concentrate on the ball. And he didn't say anything to Bluey. And Bluey said, you go to that ball, son, I'm going to put your head through the grandstand. But he's my all-time hero. Anyway, not long after that, thank God, Bobby Rose moved me to full forward. And I went down on a gentleman who's not in a good way at the moment, Barry Davis.
Yes.
And Barry, a wonderful guy.
He was, user-friendly, Barry. He's a lovely bloke. Now, Peter... one question I always wanted to ask every Collingwood player of your era: do you still sleep well at night, or do you still have gremlins over 1970?
I have never got over it.
You couldn't possibly get over it.
Never, ever got over it. And none of us have. We had that magnificent year. We've beaten Carlton three times. But unfortunately for me, I got hit very hard. I had concussion the whole of the second half. Des Tutnam ran through me towards the end of the second quarter.
Accidentally, because he tried to get Kevin Hall, remember?
Yeah, well, he reckoned he was trying to get Kevin Hall. I reckon he went for the mark and he hit me with his hip. I've seen the replay of it. And I can't remember the second half or half time or what I did that night. And I kicked five goals after half time.
You did. You were dominant.
And I just wish I had been 100%. Because when I look back, I can't remember. I always thought we kicked to the opposite end of what I've seen on the replay. I've only ever watched the replay once. I can't watch it. I feel sick.
43-point lead at half time. You couldn't possibly lose. And then all of a sudden... But that era, the Collingwood, that Collingwood era, you know, Fonts Kine, how he possibly survived, and Bobby Rose, all those near misses, you know, yeah. It's where blind you were, you know, there was a plague at Collingwood.
I'd love to have won, particularly for Bob, because we all have loved him and
yeah,
him so much, and he's an absolute legend at Collingwood, of course, all the old timers. Reckon he was one of the best players ever, and tough as nails.
Oh.
They all.
Pete, back to your good self. You always regarded as I said, look. I know how great you were, and I think the footballing world does as well. But as I said earlier, I prefaced it by saying, you know, you're probably not recognised in the manner in which you should be, because of the Wades and the Hudsons of the world. But the reality is you've always regarded your best achievement was having kicked a goal in the first 121 games that you ever played, which is still a record. You kicked a goal in every game for 121. It's amazing.
Yeah, and then the next one, I did my hamstring in the first quarter against Fitzroy and went off the ground. So I might have got an extra one or two. But I had a great, as you know, full forwards rely on their centre line. We had a great midfield at that time. Barry Price and the two Richardson boys were great kicks. And so most of my shots were within the 50-metre range for sure. So, but I had a couple of shocking days kicking for goal like everyone else. And but most of the time I was pretty confident.
But Peter, and I watched you with interest because that was my era as well. Yeah, your conversion rate from 50-60 was impeccable. What do you say to yourself now when you look at the contemporary game and you look at these forwards that are on $1 million and 800,000 and can't convert from 20 and 30 metres, a kick across their body? What are you thinking? What do you think to yourself? What do you say?
I go crazy. I cannot stand the modern... they take the mark 30 metres out. The same old thing goes on. The ball goes on the ground. The mouth guard comes out. They look up at the scoreboard to make sure that they get the kick in within 30 seconds and then rub their hands down the side of their shorts and they pick the ball up and then they twirl it around for 5 seconds and they're running in and... Oh, it nearly drives me mad. And I reckon they should cut the 30 seconds back to about 10, make them go back straight away, line up and kick it straight away. It drives me nuts watching it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, they've all got
these. Oh, well, it's unnecessary.
It is.
And when they start to, all the great kicks, you have the film of Lockett and Dunstall and Gary Ablett and Matthew Lloyd, not least forward, they didn't twirl the ball around the hand for
simple bowler. Process.
They would hold that ball straight, line it up with their right or left leg, and kick that bloody ball straight away. None of this fiddling around, you know, and it drives me nuts.
Now, Peter, your era had, this is a real strange thing, you had some great full forwards, you know, Sam just mentioned a couple of them, and yet I can remember those days, and every team seemed to have a star full back.
Yes, even my era, I played against some great full backs. I played on David Dench, I played on Calvin Moore, Barry Richardson, Jeff Southby, and even earlier than that, I played on Tassie Johnson, David Darcy, Luke Stead at Footscray. I'm just trying to, I'm probably leaving a heap out there, but even blokes like Cowboy Neal, Ray Griffin, but there were a lot of good fullbacks. And Harvey Merrigan, now you know Harvey well.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He's the hardest fullback I've played on because he had this enormous closing speed. He was super quick.
Yeah, great athlete.
Oh, great athlete. And he played, I'll tell you, he played a little bit like in Rance of Richmond.
Yeah.
You know, that late
Murray
closing
Rance,
speed.
Yeah.
Alex Rance.
And I've seen it. There's a modern day fullback. There's a modern day fullback I wouldn't want to play on, and I reckon he's a superstar. Sam Taylor of GWS.
Yeah.
Number 15. He's as good as a fullback.
Now, Peter, a lot of people, they all know about your Collingwood experience and an all-time great, no doubt, the 180 games and all those goals. Then you went to Carlton. That was an unusual thing.
He's the darling of the princes of the... Victoria Park, you'd never think.
Oh, yeah, he's a pin-up boy.
I lost half a kidney in, I had that kidney injury in 1975 and at Collingwood. And
that was in a reserve game too, wasn't it?
I got dropped in the reserves and they played me set up back. And I went from Mark and the mate jumped into me with his knees and I was straight to the Alfred Hospital and lost half a kidney. And I was in there for 3 weeks and then I retired from football, thought I'd never play again. But then I played with Devonport in Tasmania in 1976 and got a good teaching job over there. Then my wife wanted to come back to Melbourne, so we came back to Melbourne after a year. Trained all summer under Hafey at Collingwood. And I was desperate to play league football again. And they offered me $300 a game and $100 a game if I got dropped the reserves. And I said, I went to them and said, oh, well, how about guaranteeing me $300 a week? You know, with no, they said, no.
Unconditional.
So a couple of clubs went after me. Fitzroy did actually, and I think North at that stage, and Carlton. And anyway, I won't discuss what I got at Carlton, only because of the other Carlton players at that time. It was a hell of a lot more than I was going to get at Collingwood. So therefore, I went to end up going to Carlton and Collingwood didn't want me. Carlton and Collingwood were after two guys in Carlton's territory. One was David Dixon who was playing with Carlton at the time and the other one was a little bloke, Peter Marshall, who was playing for Preston and Collingwood were after him. So Collingwood got those two players and I went to Carlton. And I found it really difficult actually playing against Collingwood. And so I had a two-year contract and after one, I said to Carlton, well, I don't want to play league football again. Ended up playing VFA. But at the same time, I got that commentary job with Channel 7. And Lou Richards has got that for me and eventually commentated for about 20 years.
You did and did it very well. Peter, just quickly, on that financial aspect of it, it nearly split the club at one stage at Collingwood. I don't know whether you were part of it, but Tudnam and Thompson certainly led the charge because you were grossly underpaid and undervalued and that led to a real split. Your memories of that?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. That was end of 1969, before we went into 1970, we recruited Peter Eakins from Western Australia.
Yep.
Who was, he played a great game for Western Australia.
Sandover medalist.
A good player. And a real good player. And he was given about 10 grand, I think, which was a lot of money in those days. And we were all on match payments and Tully and Tomo stood out and wouldn't train and then fell out with very bad. It was Tommy Sharon, the president, because of that. And they said, well, you're paying so much for an interstate, what about us? They actually, the two guys, Tully and Tomo, well, that helped a lot of us because then Collingwood eventually decided to put us on contracts. And the most I ever earned at Collingwood, if you played 7 years, I think it was, then you were eligible to get this contract. And I got a three-year contract on $7,000 a year. So that would have been from 73 to 75. And then Tuddy, of course, left and went to Essendon as captain coach. And He went to Western and he eventually came back to Collingwood. So then standing out, actually, those two great players and great guys too, by the way, standing out helped us other players like myself had been around 7 years and we got that contract. But we never thought much those days about money. You're playing for the love of the game,
yeah.
You know, and But Tony and Tomo felt very strongly, you know, about it. And that's what happened with all that.
When you were playing VFA, and you played with a lot of clubs, so obviously your career was extended, were they the 16 and a side days?
Yes, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was 16 then, yeah. I ended up coaching Port Melbourne.
Yes.
I was captain coach of Port Melbourne. That's the year I had no ambition to coach at all. But they sacked Normie Brown.
Yes.
What happened? They sacked Norm Brown as coach. And then they appointed Glenn Elliott of St Kilda as coach. And he then reneged, and I think he said this is how it worked. He then wanted to play league football again, and he played with Melbourne. He went from St Kilda and played with Melbourne, and then they didn't have a coach. And Port rang me, though. This is just before the season started. Port rang me, the president rang me and said, look, we're desperate. And I retired. The year before I played with Geelong West. And they said, how about taking on the coaching job? I thought about it for a couple of days because they're a great club. I said, yes, I'll do it. So, and tremendous. I enjoyed it. We didn't win it, we came third. But during that time, I was teaching at Marston College. The phone rang, it was Lou Richards. Said, how would you like to commentate for Channel 7, Pete? I said, what do I do? He said, turn up next Saturday at Geelong. You're calling the footy with Doug Wade. And so, and then after that, and then Colin Hobbs, who played at Fitzroy, I grew up with, he taught me to play with Northcote the next year in BFA Second Division. Then I gave it away.
Oh dear. Now, we can't let you go without a bit about the show business side of it. Who was the bloke that was promoting you to be singing songs? Because you had a couple of hits.
Well, I'll quickly tell you how that all happened. But first, I did record it one day. I used to go to Hartlebury Town. You were the guy to Hartlebury Town all day.
My word.
Well, we used to go there every Wednesday night and Saturday night, and a singer in the one of the rock singers, they had the rock band, and they had the other smolty band, and Colin Buckley was a bit of a pop star at those times. He came to me and said, I've written a song, how about you record it? I could sing in tune, that's about all. So that was one record.
What was it called, Pete?
That was called Things to Remember.
Yeah.
And then
the big one?
Rang me at Channel 9 and wanted me to we're starting a kids show on a Saturday morning with a young kid we reckon has got talent called Daryl Summers. We want you to be co-compere. That was the end of 1971, and when I was there, they said, we want to record a song that's written by Johnny Young, and I said, what? And I said, listen, I didn't even like it, and but I did it, and I got talked into all these things, and I wasn't really an outgoing person, you know, but Collingwood made me give up that Sunday morning, and I was the only bloke in the history of TV to be replaced by an ostrich. A stuffed ostrich. Bernie Carroll, this wonderful man.
Yeah.
Bernie, beautiful.
What was the song,
man,
Peter? What was that big song?
Smile. And Smile All the While.
That's right.
As I say, written by Johnny Young of Young Talent Time. And I really wasn't my sort of music, but I I did it. And you wouldn't believe it. If it sold plenty of records, Tommy was supporters of Oil. You know?
My word.
Now, Peter, when you were Channel 7, you would have been under the direction of Gordon Bennett, I guess, from time to time.
I love Gordon Bennett. A wonderful, wonderful man.
He's a member of our Bang Sang.
He was fantastic.
Great bloke.
Yeah, and he was a Collingwood supporter. Gordon.
Well, he'd never tell me who he banked for. I'm seeing him on Thursday at lunch, so...
you ask him if he married for Tommy, but I'm pretty sure. I had a wonderful time at Channel 7, and although I got in a strike one night, you'll remember this, Leon. Remember the day Fitzroy got beaten by the Crows over in Adelaide, and they got 4 free kicks in the last minute.
Red hot
Adelaide, they're all undeserved. And I was commentating with Bruce McAvaney, and I screamed over the TV, "This is daylight robbery. In fact, it's murder." Crazy. And then Graham Corden caught me at the airport about a week later somewhere. He said he was coach of Adelaide. The Crows, and he said, "You are the most one-eyed Victorian commentator of all time." And then about a year ago, he rang me to do an interview for Adelaide Radio. He said, "Pete, I've got to own up to something. I watched a replay during the week of that game, Fitzroy versus Adelaide." He said, "You were dead right about those free kicks when you called them a tailor of robbery." He said, "They said they weren't there." Do you remember that game, Leon?
I was president at the time of Fitzroy, and I'll tell you how red hot it was. The vice president of Adelaide sent me a dozen bottles of wine.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. The bloke was chairman.
And what happened was, the final nail in the coffin, the last free kick paid, they had a little rover, Eddie Hocking, I think his second surname, it should have been, if anyone's free kick, it should have been his, and he couldn't kick over 35 metres. And the best kick in the side grabbed the ball, the wrong bloke had the kick, ended up being about 50 metres out and kicked the winning goal for Adelaide. It wasn't his kick. It should have been the little rover's kick.
Who were the presiding umpires, Press? Not that they'd be complicit in anything untoward, but certainly comes into account the integrity of the game, Leon. Did you have a question?
No, it's interesting, isn't it? We went berserk.
Allegedly.
Could I ask Sam something?
Elaborate, great man.
You remember we both nearly got killed. We in the car with that Gary Coutner drove us somewhere one day.
Oh, please, I thought you might have forgotten.
Was he a maniac driving that car? I would have to close
a maniac
eyes.
Driving the car. He was a maniac, full stop. Yeah. Oh, how we survived that, boy. I didn't think you'd remember that one. I didn't want to raise it.
I remember, I forget where we were going, but I couldn't believe he drove like that.
Yeah, not only that, but that was a pre-seatbelt days too. In fact, it might have been a blessing we didn't carry seatbelts. God strike, Gary Coutton now there. Yeah, we're pretty lucky to be able to have this conversation today, the way that was, that event.
Can I just say one thing? I went to Kevin Bartlett's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Very sad.
It was the most magnificent celebration. They had it in her favourite restaurant out. I've never been to a funeral celebration of a life. When you walk in, as you walk in, we're offered champagne and wine, and it became just a wonderful celebration.
Yeah, she's a great.
And her favourite scene, Sam Lorenzo out at Scorsese, and the number of footballers there, I was who's who of football, was met, and Kevin got up and spoke, and they had the most wonderful marriage that anyone could ever have. They were, and he spent the last couple of years not off the media.
Being a carer,
looking
yeah.
Up, looking after. It was absolutely magnificent.
They're a great family as well. Rhett, the son, worked with us. I work with Kevin on air, yeah. I work with Kevin on radio. And Rhett, his son, the daughters, of course. Rick Smith.
I thought I'd mention it was an absolutely magnificent tribute to a beautiful lady, Denise Barnes.
Yeah, well said, Peter, well said.
Peter, we could talk to you forever, but hang on, will you, before we say, we'll say goodbye to you in a minute, but I want to talk to you off the podcast in a second, if you don't mind. But Sam will give you a little nod for a couple of bottles of our magnificent Michelin wine. Hang on a minute.
Peter, one of our great friends, mutual friend, which you would know, is Jerry Ryan.
Now, Jerry, hasn't he done some wonderful things?
Oh, he has. But one of the wonderful things he does is that all our guests on our podcast are in receipt of a couple of bottles of fine wine, regardless, depending upon what your taste is, red, white, and whatever type. So we normally allocate a couple of bottles. I don't know. I'm sure you're partial to a sip of the grape of some distinction, red or white. Which we'll get to you.
Oh, that's very nice.
Now, the only problem is, of course, there's one problem. Leon's in charge of distributorship, distributor being the distributor of them, and unfortunately, we've been going now for 3 or 4 years, and we've had about some 200 guests over that period of time. Oh, you're starting to get the drift, are you? Yeah, the first 199 have sued us. and so what I'm saying, the next time you hear a knock on the door, it won't be us.
So the wine doesn't get to the...
Oh, well, no, the best intent it does. But unfortunately, we have a... You heard of it? You heard of a term called supply chain?
Just blame COVID.
Yeah.
It's COVID.
COVID, yeah. Coles are having that trouble. Woolworths. Yeah. The supply chain.
Still haven't recovered.
But we'll get to you shortly, mate.
Oh, very good.
You're a superstar, and thanks for today.
Good on you, Peter. Peter McKenna joining us on Sport and Life.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll join you again next week.